Blog Talk Radio.
Chaka Khan. Shaka Khan, let me rock it, let me rock Shaka Khan. Let me rock it, that's all I wanna do. Shaka Khan, let me rock it, let me rock Shaka Khan. Let me rock it, let me feel for you. Shaka Khan, what you tell me, what you wanna do? Do you feel for me the way I feel for you? Shaka Khan, let me tell you what I wanna do. I wanna love you, wanna hug you, wanna squeeze you too. So let me take it in my arms, let me feel you with my charm, Shaka. Cause you know that I'm the one to keep you warm, Shaka. I make it more than just a physical dream. I wanna rock you, Shaka, baby, cause you make me wanna scream. Let me rock it, rock it.
Yes, what's happening? And Lord have mercy, it is Throwback Thursday. Time flies when you're having fun, right? Well, guys, this is Wardell Potts Jr. for Solar Records Radio. Much love to you. I pray that you are all good and God is blessing you and keeping you well. Well, today, you know, every Thursday, I just want to go back. I want to reminisce, you know, like you hear that music in the background there? Listen to that. Listen. Your life is filled with much confusion. Happiness is just an illusion. Come on, man. We're going to have a good time here on Solar Records Radio. We got to get past the confusion. We got to have a good time in the storm. We got to praise Him in the storm. We got to enjoy life in the storm. We got to believe in ourselves. We got to believe in our future. And we got to do the right thing for ourselves. So sometimes, you know, that's what I love about these old school lyrics. When we go back, these lyrics are absolutely amazing. They have been such a wonderful gift to us. And I'm just so grateful. If you just listen to the lyrical content and these songs that we are about to enjoy together. And I thank you so much for, you know, hanging out with us today. We appreciate you. And to my friends around the world, much love. God bless you. God bless Ukraine. We're praying for everything, everybody over there. We're praying that you guys are good and safe and that you find peace. And I'm so sorry what you guys are going through, and especially to the kids that have no clue and no idea what is really happening. So, but we're going to go down memory lane together here on Soul Art Records Radio Tour. To everybody, we're going to just try to have a good time together. Thank you for tuning in. Otis Williams from The Temptations will be on, also blessing us and sharing his story. So hang out, and thank you so much for being a blessing to me and to us here at Soul Art Records Radio. We appreciate you and love you. Let's get it going.
right now, baby. Didn't I do the best I could? Now, didn't I? So don't you leave me standing.
love is over right now. Love is over right now. I love you so.
Isn't that so good? Man, oh man, I tell you, that music, it's hypnotic in terms of, you know, how it just takes us wherever we were at that time when we heard these songs. And it's just a beautiful thing to be able to experience. I've heard other people say this, but to actually experience it, you know, myself. This happens every week. I'm doing this every week, and it's not just on my show, but when I hear it on other shows, I hear these old school songs on other shows, I just get so blessed behind the music and stuff, and I love the lyrical content, like I told you earlier in the show. So listen, you guys ready for Otis Williams from The Temptations? Y'all ready for him? All right, so listen. We're going to start off with a song from Temptations, and then we'll jump right into it. Thank you so much for tuning in and hanging out with us. And thank you for blessing our station and being a part of it. We do appreciate you. Love you very much.
I just want to say, you know, from my heart to all the other musicians, I am speaking for the musicians, the people that are in the entertainment business, that this man has laid the ground for us. He has made it so that we were able to do the things that we did. And I'm speaking for Howard Hewitt, who called me and told me, please tell Mr. Williams hello for me, hey for me. And I know they are friends. And I just wanted to say, Mr. Williams has laid the foundation for us. He is the most incredible. He's a legend in his own right. We are so grateful to have Mr. Otis Williams on the phone. How are you today, sir?
I'm fine, and you?
Oh, I am wonderful. I'm so happy. Hey, listen, man, I just want to say thank you, first of all. I know that you're busy and you're touring, you do whatever you do, and we just really love you, and we just thank you so much for taking the time out to go and allow the rest of the world to hear your story. I am so excited about your life and you being the man that you are. Your life has been, you know, on TV, it's in movies, it's on radio, through your career as far as a songwriter, as a singer, and a performer. Your story is an incredible story. To be in that situation, how does that feel for you?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I always have to give praise to the Almighty, you know, because it's with His blessing is why I'm able to be able to continue on with something that I really love, you know, singing, writing, performing, the whole nine yards. And I think being at the right place at the right time, you know, in Detroit at in the 60s when Motown came along, you know, when I look back at my life, I know I am a very blessed person to have made the kind of impact that Motown did have on the world. And so just being at the right place at the right time, and I'm just very thankful for all our many fans that have endured us throughout our many, many changes, you know, but they've always been there for us. So I'm a blessed person. That's all I can say. And I'm very thankful for guys like you and our fan base.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, because, you know, and I have to confess, when I'm dealing with artists who have such accomplishments as you do, when I get music, and I go back and I have to put the show together and I'm looking for different music, it's always a challenge for me, because I grew up, you know, I cut my teeth. I asked you about this a little earlier. I cut my teeth on the back seats at the Uptown Theater in Philadelphia. And absolutely, you know, and I would love the shows when they came through, you know, with the Motown reviews, but there was something about when the Temptations hit the stage, it was just something electrifying, you know, in the group. And I've always been curious. I opened the show with the song Just My Imagination.
Right.
Did you ever, in your wildest imagination, as the group was forming in the early days, ever think that you would have created the legacy that you have?
You could have tipped me over with a feather before I would believe that I would have the kind of success, or we would have the kind of success that we have had and still having. You know, and that set that you were speaking of, speaking about the Temptations, that was the Magic Five, David, Eddie, Paul, Melvin, and myself. And it was just something very magical about that unit. And, you know, I just can't even find words to really describe, you know, that unit, because I could feel it whenever we perform and when we would record and just when we would just be commiserating. It was just a very special feeling with those that first set of Temptations, and I miss them.
It was just absolutely tremendous what you all did. And I'm thinking, because I believe it was right around 64 when the group really propelled into the real limelight.
Right.
How was that for you?
Well, you know, it was, we were just five guys that just really wanted to, you know, have success in the sense of having a hit record and making money and working. You know, we had no inclination that it would become such a phenomenon, speaking of Motown and the total package that Motown had. And, you know, it just got bigger and bigger, and every time we would go in the studio with Smokey and then later on with Norman, you know, we started having hit after hit. And, you know, it got to be so fantastic that when we would be at parties and gatherings, I would have to go off in the corner and pinch myself because I could not believe all the love and adulation that we were getting. You know, all kind of doors was opening up for us, and, you know, just the wonderful times that we were having, you know, that it was like, wow, mind-blowing.
My goodness. Now, let me just ask you a question. When you decided to start, did you decide you want to be a solo artist? How did you guys end up becoming a group? Because I know there were several different groups from what I understand.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You know, you started out, go ahead.
Well, it started out with me, I was about 14. It hadn't been too long, come up from Texarkana, Texas, you know, and then my family moved to Detroit. And it was right at the birth of rock and roll, you know, and they would bring those big, fabulous rock and roll shows to the Fox Theater in Detroit. And, man, to see 5,000-plus people falling off the banisters almost and just going crazy for what Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers was doing, the Cadillacs, the Royal Jokers, Laverne Baker, Jimmy Jones, you know, and I'm saying, my God, that's what I want to do. If I could have people reacting like that over me, that's what I want to do. So as fate would have it, you know, I started forming a group, and then I moved from the east side of Detroit to the west side of Detroit, and that's when it really started coming together because we met a lady named Jenny Mae Matthews, and, you know, she recorded us. We were the Otis Williams in the Distance. And we used to do record hops, you know, and at this particular time at St. Stephen's Community Center, Mr. Gordy and the Miracles were coming in for the Miracles to do their shop around and what have you. So I'm saying, wow, that's Berry Gordy. And so when my group finally came off, he said, I really like your group, Otis. You know, should you leave where y'all come see me? I'm starting my label. And so as fate would have it, we left Johnny Mae Matthews and came over to Motown. And, man, from 1961, it started off as a slow progression from 61 to 64. But January of 64, when Smokey Robinson asked us to meet him at the studio, he had a song for us. So at that time, the group had consisting of David Ruffin, Eddie Kendricks, Paul Williams, Melvin, and myself. And we went to the studio, and that's when we had Smokey showed us the song of The Way You Do the Things You Do. So as I'm reading the lyrics, I'm saying, you got a smile so bright, you could have been a hammer holding you so tight, you could have been. I said, oh, wait a minute, this show sound hokey. And so we put the voices on and went downstairs and recorded it. And, man, from that moment on, it has been a wonderful ride. So I knew I wanted to be in a group, because I knew that's what I, you know, was suited best for.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, once they started, once they started cranking out, they cranked them out because I know I used to spend summers as well working at my father's record shop in Philadelphia, and it was kind of like, you know, it was song after song after song after song, and people just rushing in every time something was released, you know, the Temptations, and I have a confession to make. I do have a confession to make, sir.
What's that?
The school that I went to,
right.
They have talent shows. And so what would happen is we would put groups together,
right.
And we would, take some selections. And because I wanted, to get some response from, from the girls in the school, I would always be the individual who would get to select the song. It was inevitably always a Temptation song. But I didn't understand that if you've got five people up there singing on the stage, each person was supposed to sing a part.
Right.
I tried to sing all.
That was fun, yeah, because, it was so interesting to the point that when we started out singing, rehearsing and what have you, Paul would lead, I would do a little bit of leading, Eddie would do his thing, but then when David joined the group and then we started to record for Norman Whitfield, that's when the real multi-lead started taking place, because Norman was cutting these kind of tracks, and he said, hey, man, got this song for you guys. So we listened at the track, and, we said, hey, man, Eddie, that sounds like you should take that part. And then Melvin, naturally, we would pick out certain parts for each one of us. And it became a thing where as each one of us started doing a little bit of leading on some most of our songs. So it just evolved to that kind of a multi-lead situation.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a short break here. Let's take a listen to some of the selections from The Temptations. And as I said to the listeners, we want to thank you, the legendary Otis Williams of The Temptations. We'll be right back in just a moment or two. Put your dancing shoes on. Here you go.
Hold it.
I
Wow. I love it. Hey, man, listen, I just Otis, this is Wardell. I just wanted to say, man, you guys, it's even hard to say it because it's so obvious you guys are, like, one of the most incredible groups ever. But I wanted to ask you, like, how does it feel to be in a company where you had so many artists that were putting out hits after hit after hit? And I mean, just to be a part of this machine, and I believe you guys were like leading the way. How did that feel to be in that accompaniment and then go on the tour for all these artists that were just blowing up?
Oh, it was a great feeling. You know, it was a great feeling to know that Motown had taken on such a identifiable sound and the artists and what have you that wherever we would go, you know, they knew about Motown. I mean, when we would go into different parts of the world, you know, on world tours, they knew more about Motown than a CBS or Warner Brothers or any of the other major labels that had been around much longer than Motown. So, you know, to be part of something that has left such a remarkable mark on the world and society, you know, I always tell people that Motown was not a happenstance company. God in his infinite wisdom brought that little two-story family flat that housed so many talented people together for a purpose. We came along in the 60s when the 60s has been noted as the most tumultuous decade in the last 100 years. And here comes this little two-family flat with all that music. I always said that Motown was like a soothing ointment to a troubled soul. And it's just wonderful to be part of such a company that will outlive us all. The music will carry on, and I'm just very thankful and blessed because I look back on it and I know that I was brought at that point in time to be part of Motown and the Temptations and everything that embodied that company.
You know, you kind of answered the question that was coming next from me, and that is, just in case you have more, with this, why do you think that music took off the way that it did? Why do you think that whole situation happened the way that it did? I know you had time to analyze it after all these years, and because it just exploded out of nowhere. And there was, before that, I don't remember really R&B music having that kind of say.
Yeah, right.
In terms
right.
of the airwaves.
Yeah, yeah. Motown's music was uncomplicated. It was, like we said, in the studio when we record, and sometimes, you know, artists being artists, you know, you want to get slick and do something, and then I said, now, fellas, let's KISS. Which means keep it simple, stupid, because those oftentimes are the records that are mega hits. When you sit and listen at the simplicity and the lyrics, what any and everybody can identify with. Well, Motown was like that. I mean, we weren't trying to invent the wheel. The wheel was already rolling. We just wanted to add some wonderful music to what was happening. And Barry was a stickler for making sure that all the lyrics was where any and everybody could identify with. The melodies were very strong, you know, and the tracks were very, you know, there and whatever. So when I look back on it, I said, man, there was nothing complicated about Motown music. Any and everybody could identify with Motown's music. And my girl, like I believe from the womb to the tomb, every man would like to have a woman where he can refer to her, hey, this is my girl, you know. So the music was just fantastic. And you know what? When I listen at I Wish It Would Rain, I think about a young man named Roger Penzabean. See, a lot of people don't know that song was written from pain. Roger Penzabean killed himself over that woman, over his wife. So when you listen at I Wish It Would Rain, I want you to listen at it from a different perspective. This young man loved this woman so that, hey, and I'm saying it was, she was cheating on him, and he just couldn't hang. He killed himself on New Year's Eve of 1967. And so whenever I listen to that, I say, wow, because, you know, he was a wonderful young man, you know, and, you know, his wife was doing what she was doing. He just couldn't take it, so he killed himself. And so when you listen to that, I Wish It Would Rain, know that it is from pain.
Did you know that at the time you recorded the song?
We knew that he was going through it. You know, yeah, we did. And when we came back in town, Norman Whitfield said, hey, man, you know, Roger, he committed suicide. And we were very sad, you know, to hear that because he loved this woman. But, hey, I guess he wasn't enough for her, you know, and he just couldn't take it. He wrote, not only I Wish It Would Rain, I Could Never Love Another, And I think the other one was You're My Everything. So you, when you listen to those songs,
wow.
It's from He Loved This Woman So That He Took His Own Life. And each one of those songs that you play, like My Girl, I remember when we smoking saw us at a club in Detroit called the 20 Grand, and we did a medley of songs, and David had just joined the group. And Smokey came backstage, and he said, man, you guys were fantastic. And he looked at Ruffin, and he said, I have a song for you. And the Miracles and the Temps had to go to the Apollo in New York City, and we did the Apollo together. But in between shows, we would rehearse the track to My Girl. So when we got back to Detroit and we went in the studio with Smokey, and we laid the background on to the track. And but when Paul Reiser added the strings and the horns to My Girl, I said, man, I don't know how big a record this is going to be, but this is going to be a big record. Because when he added the strings and horn, it just opened up like a whole other daylight. And, man, when it came out, Motown released it the end of December of 64. February of 65, we were at the Apollo. And Barry sent us a telegram, which I still have here in my home, congratulating us that we were number one, had a number one record in solo by me and Compass. And the Beatles sent us a telegram congratulating us, which I have, you know. So, you know, every song I listen to, there's some kind of story to tell, you know, behind each one. Like Can't Get Next to You, my friend there in Philly, Kenny Gamble of Gamble and Huff. Him and I are very tight, and he said, man, you know, you brothers have put out some great records. He said, but I love the track that Can't Get Next to You. He said, that brother Norman Whitfield is something else. So I listen to those songs, and it brings back all kinds of wonderful memories.
That's
well,
great.
Other than Roger Pinsamine, that wasn't a wonderful memory. It's just one of those sad state of affairs.
Okay. And you know, I think that's a wonderful answer, because that's one of the things about the Motown sound that I think is so powerful. It was a cultural phenomenon. You know,
sure.
Thinking back to the particular time that we were in, even as a nation, but
yeah.
About, you know, Vietnam War, the riots, everything that was going
right.
on, Motown,
you know what?
Wow.
I don't mean to cut you off, but when you said riots, you know, Detroit had one of the worst riots in American history. Do
right.
you know, after the riots started settling down in Detroit, I said, well, let me go see if we still got a company. They burned a whole lot of Detroit down. They did not bother Motown.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
I'd be doggone. Did not bother any of the housing that Barry was working out of. Did not bother any of those 3 to 4 buildings that Motown was working out of. So, and you're right about Vietnam. We were on a world tour in Hong Kong and ran into some guys that this was after the Vietnam War was over. So the three soldiers came up to me and they said, man, Otis, I got to tell you, you guys do not know what you really meant to us while we were fighting in the jungle of Vietnam. I said, well, really? He said, brother, let me tell you something. And as these three guys started telling me the music that not only the Temps, but the Miracles, all the Motown sound, he started
yeah.
crying. He started
wow.
welling up and crying right there. I mean, the way he was running it down, I started welling up and about to cry. He said, you just do not know the power that you guys have. You gave us hope. And at that time, they said, we have got to get back to the world. And they referred to America as the world. And I said, wow, really? He said, man, you do not know what you guys really meant to us while we were fighting over there in the jungles of Vietnam. I never will forget
right.
it because he was crying.
Right, exactly. And like you said, and I would have to agree, I mean, the hand of God was definitely upon Berry Gordy, upon Motown, to really set, you know, to really set some things straight. And it wasn't just the party music. There
right.
was such a in the music, and
right.
that's one of the things that I think that we as artists and music lovers need to recapture, and that's one of the reasons that Wardell and myself is so focused on speaking with the legacy artists such as yourself, who know the history, who know the story, who understand you know, the music industry and have you on to deposit this information into the next generation, because what you all were able to do is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And I thank you personally for the, you know, for how you navigated my life through. I really do. And what I want to do right now, quick, I want to play another small segment of your music, and this one's going to progress pretty quick because you all always stay current with the times, and I'm interested to know how you've been able to reinvent yourself through the various phases of musical history.
Okay.
We'll be right back with Otis Williams, D.A. Williams. I like that. Otis Williams, and we might be related, Otis.
They never tell.
Absolutely. Wardell Potts Jr. We'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back.
Hey, listen, Otis.
Yo.
I have so much to ask you. You know, it's really what's in your head is decades of information, and it's virtually impossible to get all the information that I want to absorb from you, to, you know, for our listeners and for myself. But
right.
I do want to. There was a lady in the chat room that asked a question, so I want to get to her question real quick before I get to my next question.
Okay.
Her question was, she wanted to know the name of the guy that wrote the song. I wish it would rain.
Yeah. Who wrote that? Roger Pinzabine and Norman Whitfield.
Okay. Roger is the one that committed suicide.
Roger Pinzabine.
Yeah, Foreman didn't because I played dominoes with him for a long time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, long time ran a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was a tough one. That was really sad. He's gone, but you know, he's in a better place.
I hope. Yeah.
And,
his music lives on.
Yeah, his son actually did a lot of engineering for us. He runs a Solar Crew. His son did a lot of engineering for us, and that's how I got to know his dad. And he was a domino man. We played dominoes.
Yeah. Oh, Norman.
Norman.
You should have shot some pool with him. The brother was so you could shoot pool. He was good as Minnesota Fats. I mean, in Detroit, they called him the White Fox, Silver Fox.
Oh, my God.
If a ball was in his way, he could put the right English and the cue on the cue that would go over the ball and hit the ball that he wanted, and it would go in the pocket. Norman was devastating in shooting pool.
Wow.
That's how he made his little hustle until he started getting hit records. But he would go around to different pool halls in Detroit and wipe everybody out.
And, man, did he write some great hits for you guys.
Yes, he did. Yeah, him and Barrett Strong, they really laid it on us.
How did you all manage to reinvent yourself over the years and always stay current and relevant to what was happening in the music industry? I'm sure a lot of artists want to know that.
Well, you know, we have always been a very progressive thinking group. We never wanted to settle on our laurels. We always want to stay on the cutting edge, and because we do know now as we did then, the one thing that's constant in life is change. And we didn't want to get caught up in just being stagnant because we had some hits. Well, fellas, we didn't have our day. We can just forever go around singing to My Girls. No, we wanted to always stay progressive. And like when you mentioned the era of our ways, we were writing about what's happening in the world. And I wrote that song about 12 or 13 years ago. Being up there with Nada Michael Walden, he played me the track. I said, that's a hit. And we hadn't even put our voices on it. So I can always hear something that would keep us on the cutting edge, that would keep us fresh, and always make our fans say, oh, man, Tim's got something else different out. You know, like when we did Cloud Nine and Runaway Child and Papa was a Rolling Stone. So we've always thought, very progressive. We never want to become stagnant.
Wow. Now, was that a difficult challenge? Because I know in the latter years, you know, the group went through a number of different personnel.
Right.
But it always kept that constant Temptations flavor. Was that challenging to find individuals to come in and fill slots?
It was something that we didn't take for granted, and we would always try and find someone to that would not only see, first and foremost, what I always look for, because when I'm interviewed and I tell the person that's interviewing me, I don't look at the talent first. I look at the head and heart. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you are the word I want to use, I won't do it, but a-hole, you will negate the talent. So I'm always interested in the head and the heart, because if you can understand that you're entering a business, be on time, always carry yourself in a professional manner, and because the eyes of the world, you know, are on us, you know, so I'm always interested in the essence of the person. Then the talent is interesting. You know, naturally you listen to somebody, say, okay, they sing good, they look good. But I've been around talented guys all my life. I'm the last man standing.
Just like to say thanks to Mr. Otis Williams for coming on and blessing us and just sharing his story. Good gracious. I mean, there's so much information there, right? Wow. And so if you guys tuned in late and you didn't get to hear the beginning of his interview, it comes on about 30 minutes after the show starts. So, you know, somewhere in there, 20 to 30 minutes after the show starts. So once this show is over, you can go back and you can listen to it again, okay? But thanks. I mean, that was legendary, man. Hearing the last man standing from the Temptation. I'm the last man standing. Wow. And you know, I mean, that it just, it's emotional for me. I 'cause, you know, and probably for some of you, I attach myself to them because they were all that, you know, as we were growing up, as I was growing up. And, you know, in the 70s and 80s, I mean, it was, you know, 60s, 70s and some of the 80s, because they continued to go treated like a lady in the 80s, right, man? And so much love to Otis Williams and the Temptations, and thank you guys for, you know, just bringing it. We were riding with you, and your music carried us through some very difficult times. Thanks to Barry Gordy for, you know, just, you know, leading the way there and making that thing happen. What a beautiful opportunity for all those people that were involved in this legendary company, Motown. And, wow. Anyway, guys, so it is Throwback Thursday, and that was the first hour. How sweet it is, all right? So we got another hour to go here on Solar Records Radio. So, but we need to always remember that we need to cherish those moments and remember how important it is, you know, to kind of look back, you know, where you come from. You know, think about how you got to where you got to. You remember where you were and where you are today. And, you know, and be grateful. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift. Life is a gift. And it's a wonderful opportunity. And we all get those opportunities, but it's up to us what we do with those opportunities, right? So invest. So you, when you look back, and invest well. So when you look back, you can feel good about your history, knowing that your creator probably feels the same way. If you could feel good about it. All right? All right, guys. So, like I said, let's cherish the moment. All right, I'm going to slow it down just a tad. Come on, ladies. I know this is your style right here.
Girl, you know I love you. No matter what you do, and I hope you understand me. Every word I say is true, 'cause I love you. Baby, I'm thinking of you, trying to be more of a man for you. And I don't have much of a chance, but we gonna see it through, 'cause I love you. Oh, 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 oh. Some men need lots of women for their passions to feel, but I want only you, girl. If there's sin, if there's sin, if there's sin, God will cross my.
Things got so bad until I had to go to one of my friends and talk to him. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm having problems with the woman that I love. It seems that I call her on the phone and I just can't get her to answer. And then I went to her house and I saw a car parked in the driveway. I knocked on the door, but still my knocks went unanswered. And then I went home and I watched television until television went off. And then I played my records until I just didn't want to hear them anymore. And finally I went to bed, but I found myself waking up a few hours later. And the tears were running down my face. And my friend told me, he said, Lenny, you just ought to forget about her. But I told my friend, I said, you know, maybe you've never been in love like I've been in love. And maybe you've never felt the things that I felt. But this is what I told my friend, I said, you know, sometimes you get lonely, you get lonely, you get lonely, uh-oh, uh-oh, oh, 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 and I cry, I cry, oh, oh, oh. baby. And then it got so bad. It got so bad. So one time I thought I'd roll myself up in a big old ball and die. And then I met you, darling, and you smiled at me. Oh, it was such a pretty smile, yes it was. And you reached out your hand. You helped me. You helped me. I won't ever leave you, baby. I won't ever grieve you, baby. I'm gonna love you. Oh, 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 baby. I'm glad. I'm glad, baby. Oh, oh. Yeah, baby. Oh, oh, oh. I love you. I love you.
Love songs back in the days, Lenny Williams putting it down, man, on Solar Records Radio. What a great song. I mean, that one right there. You know, his brother was hurting. And he got it back. He got a better love. He got the right kind of love. And it's about being patient and just hanging in there. You will be blessed in the storm, but you have to have faith. And trust that God's going to make it all good. Man.
And ooh.
Absolutely. What a beautiful song by our brother and sister Luther Vandross and Beyonce. Oh man, oh man. It's been good, man. It's been good. I've been enjoying this old school music and it's been a great, great show, man. It's just been beautiful, and to hear Otis Williams talk about the Temptations the way that he did, what a beautiful blessing.
Nice.
Just his story is absolutely amazing. So there's so much history going on here today, and it just takes us back, man. And I love being able to measure where I am today and where I was yesterday. And so we get that it allows you to look at your blessings, you know, where you come from, you know. And so I'm so grateful to be able to go back and say, whoa, those were wonderful moments. But at the same time, I get to look at how far I've come as a young, from a young man when that music was so potent, to, you know, an older brother. Yeah, I don't want to say a granddad, but that's what I am. I am a grandfather. And
you're an old man.
I'm an older man. I'm a wiser man. How about that? And so
there you go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Clean it up.
Clean it up. Don Fleming, how you doing, man? What's on your agenda, my brother? Everything good for you?
You know what? I am good, man. It's Thursday. It's Throwback Thursday. we have not one, not two, but three shows every Thursday, man. And I am psyched. I'm happy for, you know, what a great interview you just had. Of course, catch Wardell and myself every Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. I call it the afternoon drive and throwback Thursday. And, of course, you can check me out tonight, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. for Throwback Thursday night. And we have an archive show of Goldie Mac's Cosmic Slap Shack at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure you guys tune in. And, again, amazing interview, man. Did I mention that? Of course I did, but I'm going to say it again. Otis Williams of The Temptations, man.
That brother boy, he's full of information, too. Whoa, wow. He has been around. I mean, their hits were out in 64 and 65. Like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Gracious, I was a baby. And man, oh, man, and you weren't even here yet. You were still in the making.
No.
And so, you know, it's just, you know, like I said, he was there. They were doing that music and stuff through the Civil War, man. All the stuff that was happening, you know, with Martin Luther King and all that crazy stuff, man.
Oh,
and
civil rights. Through that whole era of the 60s, man. And Motown at the same time was, you know, the sound of young America. That's what they kind of deemed it. And, you know, understanding the times. But here's the complete irony of that is that, and I don't get too deep into it, but I read somewhere Berry Gordy wasn't really just big on a lot of protest songs. He felt there would have been a bad image for Motown, but, you know, especially with Marvin's What's Going On album becoming arguably one of the greatest albums of all time. You know, if Berry Gordy, you know, would actually pushed Marvin Gaye not to make that album, then, I mean, man, we wouldn't hear What's Going On.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But he did. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And what a great, great legacy Motown has.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
God, yes.
Barry Gordy,
he's in his 90s right now, and he is, like, healthy as a, what's the word I'm looking for? Healthy as a horse.
Oh, man. Speaking of healthy as a horse, I got to go out there and make sure my horses are eating properly.
that's a reminder. That's telling you something right there.
Yeah.
Hey, Wardell. Yes. Wardell, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you. One of my horses, I have to give him adult food now.
What? Hold on.
Adult food, like a what? Yeah, you have to eat adult horse food, like not just regular horse. Like, really? So now I got to do special shopping for this guy. And it's all good. It's all good, man. They blessed me so much, and they're a blessing to all of us. But anyway, guys, we want to keep this music going and stuff, and thank you for tuning in. And you guys, I want y'all to hear just another legacy artist. I know I had Otis Williams on, but would you take a listen to Edna White? Edna was an amazing...
Oh, Honeycomb.
Yeah, from the Honeycomb. She was an amazing woman. She was the lead singer.
Don't put it in the morning.
Yeah, and so... So I just let you hear a little bit of our conversation, but she's gone. We lost her throughout COVID. And just feel so bad because she was so sweet and so beautiful. So, but anyway, I'm just looking at that interview, and I want you to hear what I feel when I hear her voice. Maybe you'll feel her spirit as well. But she was so beautiful, and she was so good, and she was so loyal to her group. Even the record companies were trying to get her to go solo, and she was like, "No, that's not how it goes, sir. If you don't want the whole group, we'll just go someplace else." They were trying to. I mean, she would have been able to have all that money to herself, but it wasn't about the money.
I think that's kind of like the whole story when it comes to groups, and, you know, there's always that one special someone you want to push out there for a solo project, and, you know, Edna was just, you know, one of those people that's like, no, we're a group. It is what it is. You know, deal with it.
Yeah, take it or leave it. Because that's the way it is. And so it's hard to find people that are so selfless like that. And so we are so blessed. So why don't you guys go ahead and take a listen to Edna. We'll be back.
All right.
So blessed. Here she is.
Because we have a living legend here that, you know, so many people have made comments about this lady and like, oh, my God, are you serious? And so we're really excited to have her here. And I want to bring her on the line right away because this is, like, amazing for me, and I'm so blessed because of it. So right now, and I want to bring on this very special lady. Thank you so much. And we're going to bring on Miss Edna Wright. How you doing there, lady?
Hi, I am doing great, thank you. God is good. What else can I say?
Oh, my God. You know, and I'm telling you, I'm going to tell everybody, I'm nervous because there's who she is.
Get out.
There's nothing. Yeah, right. And you just said in the song, it ain't easy.
listen, you were playing it. I was up dancing.
I still
get excited when I hear it because it brings back such a flood of great memories. So what can I say?
Well, the legendary Edna Wright. Okay, listen, I want, you know, before we get into talking too much about, I want you to take this time to tell people who you are and share a little bit about your career, because I know you have a long, amazing career. So if you could just share, you know, how you guys got, you know, how it all came together for you. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That sounds, oh, God, so awesome when they say share my career. It actually started when my sister pulled me out one day. One of the girls in the Blossoms was pregnant and was getting ready to have the baby, and she needed somebody to stand in, to sub for her. And I think I was about 13 years old. And so I had been singing in church and stuff, and with my sister, yeah. And I stepped into the studio, and they looked at me, and they said, this is a little girl. And she said, believe me, she can handle it. And I just kind of smoothed right on and did the background. And at the time, my sister, who was the lead singer for the Blossoms, Darling Love, she was doing work for Jesse Belden, Good Night, My Love, and she was doing, so I got a chance to meet all those people. She started working for Sam Cooke. I got a chance to meet him. So it kind of started, I would say, in there. And then I branched off because I was going to go to college because I was a Christian girl, church girl, and I didn't want to have nothing to do with really all of that. It was exciting, but I still loved my gospel singing. So what happened was that I ran into an old friend of mine from a church that we had been singing at, during the summer, Billy Preston, and he asked me if I still sang soprano. And I said, yeah, I still sing soprano. And he said, good, we want to come by your house. He said, I want you to meet these guys that, you know, that sing gospel. I said, okay. And that next Saturday, in walked Andre Crouch and his twin sister, Sandra Crouch. And I said, oh, my, I didn't know him from anywhere. So I introduced him, and my mother came in, and she said, oh, the Crouches. She said, I'm related. One of my cousins married one of the Crouches. So they started talking, we started talking. He sat at the piano and started talking and singing and asked me to sing. And that was the beginning of singing sort of semi-professional, but they were so professional. You know, I mean, we just were kids, but we were so taught so well. So that was really my beginnings in that space with Andre Crouch and the Kojics, and that was Kojic, and they got it from the Church of God in Christ Church, and they put it together like Kojics, and that we started that. The first record we did was The Blood, and then it became nationally known, and I was the soprano lead on there, so it's good you could hear my voice, you know, and that was like
Billy
Preston, Sandra Crouch, Andre Crouch, Blinky Williams, who later would become an artist with on Motown, Gloria Jones, who would become an artist on Motown and also marry T-Rex in Europe, and Frankie Carlson, who was a great tenor, and he just did local stuff. But the rest of us, after we sang for 4 or 5 years from out of junior high into high school, after high school, we all went our separate directions. And then I just started doing work as a girl under a pseudonym of Sandy Wins, because I didn't want to sing as Edna Wright. I'm still trying to hide in church, right? I did this record, A Touch of Venus, which became a semi-national, kind of tweaked people's ears. And then I was heard by VJ Records. They heard it. They loved it. They signed me. And I was trying to figure out what was I going to do with these two personalities, Edna Wright and Sandy Wins. And I think that God had a plan for me. I know that he had a plan for me all along, for moving out of gospel into a bigger realm, which was secular music. But yet and still, if you love God, you'll understand that it's a job, and you serve God with your whole heart, then he nurtures you and grows you into the person that you're going to be.
Girl,
Yeah. Y'all remember that from the movie, Ben? Oh, my goodness gracious. What a great, great song. Well, guys, got about 9 minutes left, and the show is about done, but I truly appreciate you and love you, and thank you for blessing us and hanging out with us here today on Solar Records Radio. Thanks again to our guest, Mr. Otis Williams from The Temptations, and Edna Wright, my sister, who I love so much. Rest in peace, my beautiful sister. I had to play that interview again because I love hearing your voice. Oh, man, from the honeycomb. God bless you, babe. All right, guys. Well, you guys take care and just enjoy, you know, the rest of your day, wherever you may be in the world. Be safe and take care of yourself. And don't forget, tonight, Don Fleming will be on at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, and Goldie Mac will be on at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard. So thanks for making Solar Records Radio one of your choice stations, and we really appreciate that. God bless you. Take care of yourselves. We love you and appreciate you. Take care. Thanks, Greg, for the flyers. Love you. Get better, Astrid. Here we go.
tell me, are you here alone? Like a poolside chair.